Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Education Currents. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we just spent last week going over some of the interesting things he'd experienced in a recent stint as a substitute teacher. And today we wanted to recap what we'd talked about last week in Richard's experience as a substitute teacher in grades 5 through 8. And you briefly went over the schedule. I think you had 7th as a homeroom teacher and then 8th grade and then 5 and 6 together. I just wanted to ask a little bit as we set the stage here, what were the numbers in each of the classrooms? How many students did you have in 7th grade?
I had 15.
And then in 8th grade?
15 in 8th grade.
And then 5th and 6th together?
20.
20. So you also had, you know, when it gets to 20, it starts in that tipping stage. And I know that's one of the advantages of being in a parochial school is the smaller class sizes, because in public school, the tipping stage has far surpassed that. You always have at least 30 students. Well, today I wanted to talk about your Bible classes. You know, you said you taught Bible classes. And I think that parents sacrifice to send their children to Christian schools because they want to give their child every opportunity for salvation. They want their children to be saved. And they're willing to, you know, forego a new car, just anything to try to help their children to be saved. Now, you're teaching Bible class. Tell me a little bit about the content of the class and just set the stage here for some of the profound things you learned.
Well, I think it was fairly typical of most Bible classes in that we would have a memory verse that they needed to memorize every week and then tell it to me. And then we would have a object lesson story that went with that, from which a discussion should have developed and from which there would be questions that they should answer. And as I went through the process, it occurred to me that I was providing these students with a lot of knowledge, but what was I providing them in terms of meaning? And I began to probe that just a little bit by asking them, what does this memory verse mean to you? And that's where I started. Finally, I said, I'm going to have to make a change here. And so I set a stool in the front of the classroom, and I had each one of the students in all of the classes, each one of the students come up into that class, and I asked them a question. I would set them up there, and I would say their name, and I would point my finger directly into their face. I got the opportunity to do this because the lesson was on witnessing.
So they were on trial.
Yes. And so I point my finger directly into their face and I would say, tell us why you are a Christian. And after they had a chance to tell us why they were a Christian, I said, now, the class may respond with questions that are relevant to the topic and if they are recognized by the person who is on trial here. So the students then got a chance to ask questions. And after I had done that, the first class of that, the students came up and said, do that again.
Wow.
We want to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. So we went through all of the, we didn't get through more than the first class period. We didn't get more through more than about 4 or 5 students. So it gave us a chance to do it again with them because they really liked it. At the end of each person's testimony, because this was a witnessing thing, mm-hmm. I said, okay, class, thumbs up. If they were a good witness, thumbs down. If they were a bad witness. So they got a big kick out of that, and it was kept, mm-hmm. you know, light, and so nobody felt real bad about whether they got thumbs down or thumbs up. But it it gave me a startling insight into some of the issues that these young people are confronting. And one of the things that came out first was there was many of the students who searched very, very diligently in their life for some kind of profound sign that God did something that they felt or were aware of that identified that they were a Christian. And that left me kind of wondering, because those who couldn't come up with that, and most of them couldn't, usually ended up coming around to the point where they said, well, I'm a Christian because my parents are. And among them, there were many who said, I don't even know if God exists. And it began to make me question how we teach Bible, whether what we're doing is simply creating a group of cultural Christians, cultural Christian agnostics in our young people.
I mean, as you're talking, I'm remembering when I was in the seventh and eighth grade, and that was the big movement where you had all these testimonies. You know, just using the word testimony meant that someone came to the youth camp meeting and they talked about their horrible experience with drug use and how, you know, God had come and pulled them out of the miry clay. And I remember really wondering if I was a Christian because I hadn't had any of those dark experiences and God hadn't spoken to me directly. I hadn't seen any angels. But yet that was what was touted as a true converted Christian, was someone who had gone the dark way and then had had a tremendous spiritual experience, awakening, and now they were going the right way. And I've struggled that maybe a lot of my life, expecting God to talk to me or to, you know, I'd put out a fleece and my fleece wouldn't do anything. And it's only as I've gotten older that I realize, you know, that's when you're really intimate with God, is when you can continue on without any of these supernatural experiences. You can do whatever your hand finds to do. So you didn't have that much time, but how did you affect any change with your students?
Well, the first thing I would do is when a student would say, I don't even believe God exists, I'd say, that's okay. I say, and I wrote up on the board the word cultural Christians. And as soon as I put that word up there, then the students, is that a bad thing? And I just kept writing, and I wrote the word underneath, Christian. And I turned to the students and I said, being a cultural Christian where you are in life right now isn't a bad thing. That's just where you are. I said, the goal is to move you from being a cultural Christian to being a Christian in your heart. And so then I backed way up with them. And I said, let's start by finding out who you are. And so I wrote the question on the board. Who are you?
Who are you?
Now, that's a great question of the 70s. Who are you? And this was quite disturbing to many of those kids. One of the kids came up and said, Mr. Tooley, I don't know why you wrote that question up there. It just disturbed me all night. I couldn't even sleep because of that question. I don't know how to answer that question.
Now, how old was this student?
This was a seventh grader.
And would you consider him or her one of your more brilliant students or just an average student? Or
I think it was a student who could be a brilliant student. And I say that because much of the culture of there is a culture within our education that precludes certain
types
of people. People with certain backgrounds have a much more difficult time achieving. And this young person was one of those people who would have who came from a different type of culture and couldn't. Mm-hmm. They also felt that somehow they were put down because they were ethnically different than everybody else. And throughout the year, they made comments about it. Everybody just looking at me as some stupid person because I'm not the same color as they are. You know, I told him, I said, nobody's doing that. That's in your own head. Everybody out there is seeing a bright kid who's engaging, who's got a great potential to make it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you should be a pastor. Really? So I started with this who are you theme, which was, and they battled that one back and forth. And well, I'm, no, that's your name. Well, I'm, no, that's what you are. Mm-hmm. And we went around for a while on that. And I said, now I'm going to take you back to a viewpoint that says you are not, that there is no God. Let's just start there. And I created a Venn diagram for him where there were three circles that intersected. And one of them was background. One of them was genetics. And one of them was experience, their current experience. So we had experience, genetics, and current environment. So those three, environment, experience, and genetics. And the intersecting circles, and I wrote the word you in the middle of it. And then I just stood back and let them look at that for a while. And pretty soon, one of the students said, that means I'm nothing. And that was a profound breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
For them to grasp that was a profound breakthrough. So I said, now, where in the Bible is the question, who are you, asked? And they thought about it for a while, and they dug around, and finally someone said, Moses at the burning bush. Yeah, it was. And what was the answer? God said, I am. I said, okay. So if God said, I am, and that was his answer, what answer can you give?
Wow.
And so they sat there thinking about that for a while. Someone finally said, I am.
Wow.
I said, yeah, that's the answer. You can say, I am because he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that make you worth? And so then I put over the top of the Venn diagram, valueless, and over the other model, the cross, priceless. I said, so if you start back there, if you choose not to believe in God, if you choose to believe that God does not exist, then you have no value. You're useless. You're valueless. But remember, God sent his son, and who did he die for? I said, he died for one. He didn't die for a mass. He died for one. You are the one he died for. They got that, and I thought, that's pretty profound to be able to go that deep with these young people and get them to understand that at the root, you don't have to have this profound experience of God picking you up and saving your life or doing something miraculous. You simply need to come at it from a perspective of, am I valueless or am I priceless? And the choice is yours.
Okay, well, we have to take a break right here. And when we come back, we're going to go through ways that you can prevent your child from coming through this Christian experience being an agnostic at the end of it. And I've seen those, and it's very sad. We'll be right back.
There are so many teens out there that battle with their own personal problems. They feel as if they can't tell anyone and keep it inside until they finally explode with emotion. One way to help that not happen is finding a friend you know you can trust. If there is at least one person you know that will listen to you, give you advice, and keep it a secret, it'll definitely help you through life. I feel as if some of my friends think that they have to bear the weight of the world on their shoulders. It really annoys me because the more they keep it in, the worse they begin to feel, and it hurts me to see them in pain. If you're having problems, tell someone. It'll make you feel better and save a lot of future problems.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Richard Tooley, and I promised you that we'd talk about ways that we can prevent our children from becoming agnostic. And you just hit upon one of the reasons why they are, and that is because, well, parents are very busy making a living. Sometimes the worship time at home is very superficial at best. You know, maybe read a verse in the morning as you're going out the door, or listen to a story on your way to school. In the evening, there's, you know, just filled with other things. It's time to go to bed, say your prayers type of thing. How can we just start, you know, going through some ways that I as a parent can make sure my child doesn't come through all of this? You know, I've put them through private school. We go to church every week, and still they come through as agnostic. And I know there's no guarantee, but.
Yeah, there is no guarantee. And I think you have to start back at the root of everything and from a philosophical perspective. Sorry to have to go back to it, but you have to go to a philosophical perspective. You have to go to that perspective of, are we here to learn the Bible stories, or are we here to get to the meaning? The whole study of knowledge and meaning, you know, is a fascinating study.
Mm-hmm.
I can provide you with all the knowledge in the world, but if you cannot make meaning out of that knowledge is useless.
Yes.
So the tools of knowledge have no value unless you know how to use those tools, what the meaning of those tools are. And so if I were to look at this, one of the things that I would have to suggest is learning how to engage the Bible. And that learning how to engage the Bible can be at quite a young age. You know, one of the things that we have a lot of, and there's many of it, read the Bible through in a year. You know, my own daughter read the Bible through 3 times. That doesn't mean that she is a Christian. I believe she is. But that doesn't mean that the Bible has much meaning to her either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to learn how to engage the Bible. And I think I've heard some pretty profound research on this recently, and I can't remember, you may know who the authors are of that research, that engaging the Bible 4 or more times a week has a profound impact on a person. And that engaging the Bible doesn't have to be limited to adults.
Yes, let me give my listeners the website here. You can go to www.centerforbibleengagement.org. And the research he's speaking of was conducted by Dr. Arnie Cole and Dr. Pamela Orvaglo. And their title of their research is called Bible Engagement as the Key to Spiritual Growth, a Research Synthesis, and was conducted August of 2012. It's amazing how many Bibles are in the United States sitting on shelves collecting dust.
It is
just amazing.
It's profound. Number one bestseller, number one least used book.
Yeah.
Having a Bible sitting on a shelf and not picking it up is not going to help. And I believe that if I were to make practical sense of what this should be, for our children, parents, get that Bible out. Engage that Bible yourself 4 or more times a week. Yeah. The profound thing is that what happened back then to people happens today to people. It just happens that we be a little more modern now, but we're no different.
We can still engage the Bible through our smartphones, through our computers.
Mm-hmm.
What about Bible stories? I mean, there has been a floodgate of movies that are depicting Bible. Do you think they have a value in engaging with the Bible?
They will. And I think, once again, we're dealing with individual variability here. And I believe that if a person is not a reader, get a CD, DVD, whatever, of the Bible. But it's always good to get to the Bible. And multiple versions is always better, because NIV is a thought translation, where KJV and NKJV and New Revised Standard Version, American Revised Standard Version are word-for-word translations. So you get a little different nuance in each one of these. But reflecting in the Bible is an important part. Reading and reflecting. Listening and reflecting. And then, when we move to the next step, we need to move to the final step, which is applying it.
Yes.
So you read, you reflect, mm-hmm. which means, for me, journaling it out, saying it out loud on a tape if you mm-hmm. like it that way. I would say watching movies of the Bible are good, but you need to read that Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get what the Bible is actually saying, because many times the movies are an interpretation that comes from somebody else
mm-hmm.
who may not even have a scriptural basis for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. For instance, the last movie that came out, like Noah, it was called Noah. The things that were true about it is there was an ark, there was Noah, and there was a flood. The rest of it was something else. Now, finally, once you as parents are involved in doing this, you need to help your child do this too.
Mm-hmm.
Your worships should be something like this. Now, you can't do this all the time with them, because the variety is the spice of life. So you got to do some other things to lighten it up. It's just like some days when I was teaching in there, you'd come into the classroom and you knew they needed a change. So you might play something like, one of the things, I just put up a bunch of verses on the Bible and I said, we're going to play Bible sword drill one day. The next day I put up a bunch of dashes and I said, we're going to fill in these words and we're going to play hangman, Bible hangman. And if I hung the guy, I said, okay, you can restore this guy if you can tell me the verse in the mm-hmm. Bible where that came from. So sometimes you do light things like that that just lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to take your children to the point where they are reflecting. And one verse is a good thing to reflect on a lot of times for them. But get them to learn how to do that. One thing about it, children who engage the Bible and adults who engage the Bible will also find their mental capacity increased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has been proven over and over again in research, that if you memorize, if you are constantly memorizing scripture, your IQ increases. And we know God has promised that all wisdom comes from Him. So He's the life giver, He is the wisdom giver, and He's the peace giver. Isn't that a great way to conclude the show? Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and keep learning how much God loves you. Learn about all the wonderful things He has in store for you. Keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.